Welcome, everyone, wherever you are, those listening at home, in the car, wherever you pick up Homily Studio. Today we'll be looking at the readings for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. So we're still following Jesus on the journey to Jerusalem through the words of Luke, and we've also got readings from Sirach and Hebrews. My name is Kath Petrie. I'm standing in as chair, if you like, today for John O'Connor, who is still in Italy. And I'd like to ask the other Homily Studio participants to introduce themselves.
Kia ora koutou, ko Rory Patterson, tōku ingoa. My name is Rory, and I work for the Catholic Diocese of Christchurch as an RE advisor.
Kia ora koutou katoa. My name is Jelvin Cortez, and I work at Te Kupinga Catholic Leadership Institute doing marketing and communications work.
Thank you, Jelvin. Welcome.
Kia ora, everyone. I'm Bernadette Patelisio, coming to you from sunny Wainuia Mata. I came to be here. I'm a candidate on the Te Hau Nui Launch Out program. It's a lay pastoral leadership program run here in the Archdiocese of Wellington. Thank you.
So welcome, everyone. And we're all here because at some stage of our lives, we bumped into Father John O'Connor. He has continued to inspire us to be part of this Homily Studio enterprise. So I'd like to begin with a prayer. Kito ingo te matua me te maiti me te maru tapu. Amene. God of all times and all peoples, your word burns like a fire within us. Grant us a bold and faithful spirit that in your strength we may be unafraid to welcome the stranger in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 So, we're with the Gospel of for this Sunday. We'll be looking at Jesus at dinner again with some Pharisees and a lesson to teach. Some words of wisdom from Sirach and an admonition, really, from Hebrews to emphasize that we've moved from the terrifying concept of God in the Hebrew scriptures to the new covenant of Jesus, who's God with us. From your reading, would someone like to start off by telling us what word or phrase or theme that speaks to you from today?
I think for me it was humility, the obvious one, but in a new way. I think we know as Christians that we ought to be seeking justice and helping the poor and disadvantaged, doing away with worldly things and so on. But I heard this today as a more challenging, disruptive message to do away with the old and bring in the new and get a bit uncomfortable, I guess. Yeah.
For me, apart from, well, the obvious theme of humility is reflecting on how does that look like for me? So I look at the responsorial psalm, which says, God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. So in your goodness, not of our goodness, not because of our goodness, but in God's goodness, that we are here, that we are made humble. And that takes a lot of strength for us as Christians to be, to find hope and to give hope as well to the poor, as in the gospel today, we invite the poor the crippled, the lame, etc. And that gives us the strength and the courage to be humble and to invite and to serve the poor around us, however they may look like for us.
You tell them.
And for me, this particular combination of readings is fairly typical in that you can pick up the theme in the first reading of this idea of humility, and in the gospel in that way that this is very much like lots of other Sundays where the first reading and the gospel seem to pick up on a particular theme. And again, sometimes the second reading feels like an outsider or not quite as on message, as it were, compared to the other two. For me, I was hunting through, I spotted humility in the first reading, spotted it again in the gospel, but it was the last lines of the gospel in terms of what impacted on me. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And I think, that's a challenge on a daily basis for me personally, but also in terms of how am I doing that in my daily life, but also for us as church to reflect on those. Are we inviting the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and others, of course, who we know are outsiders, as it were.
That idea of the poor, the crippled, and the lame, as you say, Rory, they're people who are marginalized, they're the outsiders in society. And it occurred to me that often we lump those groups all together under one abstract noun, like the homeless or the refugees or those of gender diverse status. And in doing that, what we overlook is that each of these persons is a person. Each of them has a story to tell. And each of them is somebody that we need to sit down beside and listen to. So that idea of inviting people to the table. I think the table is a round table. So there's nobody sitting at the head of the table. We are all sitting side by side, like the Knights of King Arthur, if you like. And Jesus is there in our midst, along with these people that we need to see as people.
I love that you use the analogy of the round table. I grew up with a round table. There were 10 of us, and we had a custom-made round table because we always had extras for dinner as well. Very hospitable household. So that really resonates with me, the round table, because you can always fit three or four more. I found the in the gospel reading, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors. That's very challenging because it's almost at odds with what I want to do with my family. I always want them to come around. Or even if we think of that in terms of our parish, it's easy enough to host a parish dinner. Well, it's not easy, but so how do we, I'm asking myself that, I guess. How do I actually do that in my daily life? Not invite my, well, that's the challenge. It doesn't, I don't take that literally, but there's lots of good stuff in there. And that's probably how I came to the getting uncomfortable part of my reflection, is that's challenging.
They're getting up. Sorry, you've already gone.
I was reflecting beyond, the impact on me personally, but on us as church. This direct instruction from Jesus about inviting the marginalized in, and engaging with them. In my part of the world, there's a lot of focus on rebuilding. We had an earthquake here some 15, 16 years ago now, and we're still, as church, really bouncing back from that. And so there's a number of key building projects that are front of mind for those working in parishes and for the diocese. But in the context of, and in that context, there is a need for funds. And so we find, lots of appeals, fundraising, some great things going on. But it seems to me that every so often we need to reprioritize and listen to these words in terms of it becomes very simple or very easy to fall into prioritizing the needs of those who can assist us as church with these funds more than these people who need our assistance. And so it's a little uncomfortable what I'm saying here. I'm trying not to be too provocative, but in the church, I think we do need these little reminders about our reason for existence as Jesus Christ, and he tells us very clearly who should be our priority in this gospel. And so I think that's something to reflect on as an institution.
I was also reminded by the upcoming Social Justice Week next month, which I think is an appropriate theme for our readings this Sunday. And the theme for the Social Justice Week is Imagine Peace for All. And I think with everything that's happening, not only here in Aotearoa, but around the world, and the call for peace and justice. I think it's also a good time to reflect on how can we contribute to that peace. How can we include the marginalized, the poor amongst us? Might be the migrants or the refugees. How can we build that peace together? So it's another thing that we can reflect on.
Thank you for reminding us, Jovine, about the upcoming Social Justice Week. And also, we're standing on the brink of the season of creation. So, thinking about justice for the universe, for the planet. But the word humility comes from the Latin word humus, meaning earth. So it's about getting down to earth, about myself and others. And I think when Jason, Rory, you mentioned priorities, often when I come to set priorities, I'm influenced by things that exalt me rather than humble me. I'm influenced by wanting to make a good impression on other people, by building up my possessions, my wardrobe, by following popular culture, looking for approval and praise and success. And those are the things that will obviously take me in the wrong direction. They will exalt me, but they're not bringing me down to earth. And that's what I need as an individual and also as a member of the church, to strip away those layers and look at the human being, and the human being also who is God, who is sitting at our table. We can't be
Interesting.
perfect. We can't ever be perfect. Only God's perfect. But we can strip away some of the layers. Sorry,
Yes,
Jobin.
I think Oh, sorry, you go, Jovi.
Now, Benedict.
No,
No.
Jovi.
Well, interestingly, I was reminded of the earth and humility, what Kath said, because in the book of Venerable Fulton Sheen, A Way to Happiness, he compares humility with a building, and he said the higher the building, the deeper the foundation. And so it's bringing ourselves down to earth, deeper into the earth, and it's also not distorting the truth. So in a way that sometimes we mistake humility by demeaning our gifts, ourselves, but it's actually Fulton Sheen mentioned about it's living in the truth. It's living in the truth that we have gifts and we have talents and we have blessings that we can use to share with others. That's what humility is all about. It is acknowledging that these gifts are given to us by God, that we can use to bless others as well.
I was reflecting also on kind of the wider or deeper meaning of humility and what is that like when it's in every part of my life. And I came to think of it as a total emptying out of myself and a surrendering to the will of God. And in that kind of, it isn't a weakness, it's a place of strength, actually. But in that place of weakness becoming strong, and I've witnessed that people who are truly humble achieve great things. So it's not for me, it isn't something, it'll be something I'm working on forever, because I do like to be right and I do like to be seen to be doing things. I've had many lessons in humility over the years as a church musician. And constantly that's evolved over, I've been doing that for sort of 25, 30 years now. And I am a different church musician than I was when I started, and my reasons for doing it and how I receive praise or criticism afterwards, it's a wonderful lesson in humility.
Can I just pick up on Bernadette's point there? She used a phrase, something like, through being humble, we can achieve great things. And I think that's true. When I was reflecting on these readings, I was thinking about, examples of humility, and well-known examples. One of the ones that came to mind for me was Mother Teresa, with her, the amount of attention she received through being humble, but also doing some wonderful things in her lifetime. She got a lot of attention from outside the Catholic world, from people, because they recognized that goodness in her. The same thing applied in context of my comments earlier about us as church and our focus on building or raising funds and so on. When we as church do follow this instruction about reaching out, being a church of justice, and those direct action good works that we do have in the church through particular agencies and groups and even parishes and so on, when we make that outreach, that does we don't do it because we want people to see it, but people in the community do see it and they think that it's really good. So, when we are humble as church and follow those instructions from the last lines of the gospel, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, when we make the outreach to those who are marginalized, we can achieve great things too. So I just thought I'd pick up on that line from Bernadette.
And I think sometimes all we have to do really is show up each day and say, what now? What now, Lord?
Show up and
Yeah.
sit and listen. Show up and sit and listen. And that whole the new or the newish emphasis on synodality that's coming from Rome, but now making its way into our parish lives, is all about walking together and listening on the journey.
Yes.
So, bringing it all together, if you were asked in your parish this weekend to give a reflection on these readings, what would you want people to take away?
For me, mine is in the form of a question yet again, but my question would be, reflecting on these gospels, what actions have I personally taken that show I am prioritizing the poor and needy or the marginalized over those who are comfortable or insiders? So, what actions have I taken?
Thank you, Rory.
For me, I'll probably give a summary of the readings based on my reflection. For me, humility is living in the truth that God loves us unconditionally, despite our brokenness, despite our failures, our shortfalls, and our weaknesses. And because of God's love, we are called to love others and give hope to them. Humility is living in the truth that we cannot do it ourselves. We need God. We need His grace to get us through life here on earth towards His kingdom.
Thank you, Tom.
I think I rest on the line in the first reading, humble yourself, the more, the greater you are. And I think, Jovine, you touched on this too, that humility applies to every aspect of our lives. And what is God asking of me where I am? That's probably, yeah, for me.
So I'd probably go with the two H's, humility and hospitality, because they do go together. And if I am living in the truth about myself, it makes it easier to listen to each other's truth as well. So thank you. Thank you for all your contributions this morning. We'll close with a prayer. And this prayer comes from Father Claude Mostovic, who is a member of Pax Christi in Australia, so very focused on social justice. Gracious God, you meet us, hold us, and challenge us in our life together with others. Transfigure our relationship so that mutual love may continue until we find ourselves welcomed into the highest place you have reserved for all your children through your word and spirit. Amen.